This is Open Mic Live. Let's go! Welcome to this week's episode. We have a very special guest coming. Welcome back to today's episode. This season, as you know, we're running a special series that dives into love, family, and the joy of weddings. Today's story is especially close to my heart because my guest is not only an incredible woman, but also my cousin Diana. Her story? She likes fairy tales. And this fairy tale is about how a best friend's introduction led her to her husband and the journey that followed, one that took them and us, their friends and family, halfway around the continent to witness them saying, I do. This led to an unforgettable adventure, which started their adventure of a lifetime. In this episode, we're diving into the world of destination weddings, particularly for international couples. Planning a wedding abroad brings unique challenges and endless possibilities, from choosing the perfect spot to merging cultures and traditions. Diana and I will explore how to make the planning process as smooth or as complex as you want it to be, and we'll share some gems for anyone considering a destination wedding of their own. So sit back, enjoy the episode, and if you're planning an international celebration, you might just find some beautiful inspiration here. Welcome to today's second wedding special, and my guest today is Diana Kazanietzki. Currently, she's based in Delft. She works in e-commerce and digital transformation. And Diana is actually somebody who has the most, let's say, familiar approach to mine when it comes to many areas in life. But this is not a coincidence because she's also my cousin. Welcome to Open Mic Live.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here after listening all the episodes before, finally on the podcast. As I said, I thought you're going to look for my professional opinion, but I'm happy to have a professional opinion on, almost professional opinion on weddings as well.
Yeah. And I think you are approaching wedding planning very, let's say, seriously, but also detailed. So I'm very, very interested to hear your opinion. And we're planning the weddings in a similar way in terms of having destination weddings. And you've been married for almost 1 year.
Lots of Excel sheets as well.
Excel sheets. I think these Excel sheets, you make an Excel sheet, which is so elaborate and so good. And then it just stays somewhere. I think people should sell them or something.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
like
a
template. Yes. Because they're so elaborate. And your husband, actually, this is the first time when I heard about a wedding Excel. He was the one who actually made it, though.
I am very lucky that he is as organized, if not even more, for some things as me. So when we started planning, of course, there had to be an Excel sheet. There's Excel sheet for our vacations, trips, where we go, how, where we sleep, etc. So the wedding was, of course, a big project, which had to have an Excel sheet, which still lives, by the way. And I used it for sending the greetings after that.
Yes.
Your address is there. Yes.
It's a very nice. It's a very nice thing to have. And for our listeners who don't know you yet, tell me and tell us a little bit about your love story with Daniel, your husband, how you met, everything.
Yeah. Our love story, let's say it like that, is very interesting. I was single for a very, very long time to start with. So this is very important because he is really like, wow, he finally came. Yes. So our love story, after being single and Tindering the world, at some point during COVID, I started coming to the Netherlands, where one of my best friends lives. She is Tindering at the same time a lot. We were very much into cycling at this point, and I told her, please swipe cyclists so that they can show us around. You know, you don't even, It doesn't need to be a romantic relationship as far as they can show us around where to cycle.
And she lives in the Netherlands.
And she lives in the Netherlands, yes. So she did that. She met Daniel. They went on a date. At some point, I had no idea that this is happening, but at some point she texted me, Diana, I think I found your husband. And I was like, yeah, right. Okay, I had so many found husbands before. Yeah. Air quotes. Yeah, I didn't believe that, of course, and I was in a very good place. I didn't want to rush into anything. But then, so we met eventually. We started cycling, just the three of us. It was really cool. Of course, he was very handsome, tall, la la la. Then suddenly I realized that he's also teaching children how to play basketball. And then he plays chess, which is something I really am drawn to because I cannot play chess. And all of those tiny little things, he was a little bit flirting but not so much, and I had no idea what's happening. And eventually, yeah, he was the first shy person. I'm very much into shy people, who I didn't help to approach me. And that was a very, very good move. Because I was like, okay, this time I'm not helping anybody to approach me. I don't care. If I'm not approachable to you,
yeah,
go home.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And yeah, after that, everything, it's actually everything went super quick. We met in March. We kind of got together in May. I moved in June.
Okay.
Yeah, I like moved in with all my boxes from Bulgaria. I was like,
okay,
I am moving to the Netherlands with or without you. And he said, yeah, if you want, come and stay. You can put your things at my place while you find your own. Wink, wink.
And they're still there.
And they're still there. So I'm joking that I fulfilled my Eastern European dream of getting to the West. Sliding through the back door, actually through the front. And yeah, in July we were already living together. And to be honest, I think, I mean, it's just so easy when you find someone who so that's our love story. And probably a year later, which I still think that it took him a long time actually to propose. Year and a half later, we started planning our wedding.
Yes, I remember very well. We talked about this earlier when you sent me a picture when you got engaged. And then you got married last December.
Yes.
In Malta.
Yes.
And you got married between Christmas and New Year's, which was one of the more fun things, let's say, non-traditional moments in the year to get married.
Everything was very untraditional because I am from Bulgaria.
Yeah.
He's from Poland. We live in the Netherlands. And for some reason, we got married in Malta.
Yeah.
In December, as you said. Yeah.
And this is one of the things that I will touch upon in a little bit. But what is funny is that your wedding actually started the snowball of engagements and engagements in the family. So that was really fun. And we started talking about destination weddings. So, as you said, you're from Bulgaria. He's from Poland. You live in Delft in the Netherlands, and you got married in Malta. And it's sort of like what we're doing right now, because I'm from Bulgaria, he's from Finland, we live in Luxembourg, and we're getting married in south of France. And I will tell you why we decided to do it there, but why did you decide to get married in Malta?
In the very beginning, when we got engaged, again, I waited for this moment for so long. I could not wait a minute more. So after the day of yes, I will marry you, I was like, when are we getting married?
Yeah.
Is this going to be a big wedding? Is this going to be a small wedding? And I already knew that I want to have like a intimate wedding, which, by the way, if you ask me 10 years back, I would say that's so boring. I want to have like a big party. How we got there, it was February when he proposed, so it was too early for to organize something nice with all the details that I would love to have for June, July. So because of Delft, because of the weather in the beginning, we were like, okay, let's do it in August, because August, September, the weather should be fine still. Because I always wanted, I mean, garden parties, something like that, it's always the thing. But I realized that my sister is pregnant. I mean, I knew that she's pregnant, but then I realized she's going to be really pregnant in August. Yeah. So that was almost impossible, which kind of make it next summer, which is already, I cannot wait for next summer. Yeah. No.
Honestly, I don't know what you think about people who plan their weddings for a year and a half. I don't know, like the amount of energy and how much it like takes up from my mind. To do this for 1.5 years, I think I'll go crazy.
Yeah, they're very patient, apparently.
Yes, yeah. I think so.
I don't even... Yeah, very patient. Also, you kind of forget probably. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you get tired of it, probably. Yeah, I think I would get... be like, okay, let's just get it over with.
Yeah. Also, I think it's exaggerated how complex wedding planning
you think?
Is. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things and a lot of details, but there's so much attention you can give those details as much attention as you want.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, if you think that everything should be perfect and whatever perfect means for you, and perfect means, I don't know, a special set of tablecloth and and the plate should be this and this and this, so every detail must match. For example, I've been on a wedding that the bride was, first of all, she told all of her bridesmaids they had to have a different shade of pink, which was, and this had to be decided 10 months earlier because the shades of the pink of the dresses of the bridesmaid corresponded to the invitations, which correspond color scheme, which corresponded to the tablecloth.
Okay.
So if you like, are that kind of a person, which I don't judge, amazing.
No, I don't judge. Amazing. It's your wedding, you decide what to do. But to me, this is one of the reasons I don't have bridesmaids, because I don't want to make 5 girls who, sure, they have met at some point through me, but to take decisions together, to oblige them to do stuff together, to organize things, to just be involved in so many different ways with each other for such a long amount of time.
Yeah. Quite scary. Yeah. That's scary. About the details, it's really about you. So that's why I think it's a little bit exaggerated. For me, I knew what the concept would be at some point. I didn't know when I started dreaming about it, but at some point I knew that if I have a bigger concept, it's very easy then to take decisions within that frame of, within that concept, within that topic or whatever you're going to call it, like what this wedding will be about. So in the very beginning, we said we want this wedding to be intimate. We want, because our friends, which is a thing when you have an international marriage, I didn't know some of his friends. He didn't know my friends. Mm-hmm. Our parents never met. So it was not, it was, it, I wouldn't feel right if I just invite a bunch of people who never met and I expect them to have fun. And I have fun because I know all of them and I feel good, but they don't know each other, or it was just strange. So for me, that was the concept. We are meeting each other's friends and we want to spend time together. Therefore, that's going to be an intimate wedding. Therefore, everything we do will somehow be connected to that
idea. Yeah, and goal.
Yes.
And I want to talk a little bit about the details that you incorporated to make everybody feel really special. Something that you did that I think I have never seen, and everybody was stunned, that you wrote letters for each guest. I think there was not a dry eye in the house when they wrote it.
I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Me too. I could cry again. But it was so sweet. And also, shout out to Daniel, your husband, who you have a big extended family that is quite close. And he knew everybody's names when we arrived. We hadn't met him before.
Yeah.
But it was like, wow, he really raised the bar of how you greet people.
Yes. Well, all the details came to our mind because I really wanted to feel everybody to feel special. Of course, everybody feels special all the time, but it's just because because when you live abroad, you don't see those people so often. You don't have that many opportunities to talk and to tell each other how much you care about each other and everything. And let's be honest, also, when you're having a destination wedding, you're asking a lot of people to, number one, spend a lot of money on tickets. If you're not paying, we didn't. Spend a lot of money on tickets, spend a lot of time on organizing where they're going to sleep, what's going to happen. Think about stuff, you know, just organize just so that they can come to, let's be honest, a party. Yes, they love you and all that kind of stuff, but it's kind of, yeah, it depends.
It's a commitment.
Yeah. It's a commitment, and it depends what you as a person think about weddings. If you don't like weddings, for them, it's like, oh, okay, I need to just go to. Not to mention that previously I was joking and making fun of people who say me, oh, yeah, we're getting married in Bali. Come. Yeah. Okay.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Yes. That's a very nice invitation. I have to pass. So, and, you know, they say like, yeah, that's a thing. And it's going to be so fun. Yeah, it will be fun. But then I need to organize everything. And this is just, as you said, a commitment. So because of that, I knew already that whoever decides to come. So because we started, actually, you asked me why we decided Malta, why we decided September. Why we decided December. This happened because A, my sister wouldn't be able to come in August. Then I didn't want to postpone until next summer. And number three is the weather in the Netherlands in December, which was the first month, actually November, where after she would eventually give birth, she did. Yay, the baby is great. That would be November or December. And this is actually really bad weather in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And even then, because of our emotional relationship with Delft, which is the city that I personally fell in love with him, and he made so many surprises, and now we live in Delft, I really wanted to do it over there. And actually, in the beginning, I thought to make a super close, almost elopement kind of wedding, which would be, I wouldn't even call it a wedding. It would have been a family Christmas sign in the municipality.
Yeah.
And I had ideas of, for example, because, okay, we signed for 2 hours. We have lunch for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. What else? How do we make this special? So I was even thinking of projecting, taking like a big cinema or something. And then we project love actually.
Yeah.
And because it's Christmas, everybody's together. So the whole thing was, let's at least the family, let this be a family wedding and something like that. And but then because of the weather, I started looking at big houses. It was like, why would I pay so much money to
go next accommodate? Door?
Yeah, to go next door. Gray weather, probably raining, doesn't make sense. And thank God Daniel was like, well, if we're gonna fly those people anyway to the Netherlands, why don't we fly them to Spain or Italy? And the moment he said Spain, Italy, I just heard, buongiorno, bella. And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Now lunch works.
Yeah,
because lunch in Italy, it's going to be a very, I'm sure they're going to make it very festive.
Yes, exactly.
Just the moment we're in white and we're married, they're going to make it like that's the thing in that tiny village, for example. So that's how. Then, by the way, for everybody who's considering destination weddings, yeah, that's actually a very interesting thing that we went through. Then the next thing is, are we signing in Delft and then having the party at the destination, or do we want to sign at the destination?
Yeah.
Then we had a conversation why at all we would want to have two or not. So for us, for example, I said I really want to have one date to celebrate our wedding. So I prefer to be married on the day and everything to be at the same day.
Yeah.
And then it started to be a little bit more problematic because in Spain, you can only get married if you are either if you're either marrying an actual Spanish person or you've lived there for 3 years or something like that. There's like a certain criteria that we did not cover. So Spain was off, even though I spent
and
2 weeks.
In many countries, it's like this. You cannot get legally married everywhere.
Yeah.
That's definitely a factor when somebody's considering if they really want to have the legal marriage somewhere else to look into that.
Yes, because I spent 2 weeks of finding amazing places in Valencia and then I was like, oh, we cannot get married there. Okay, next. Then with Italy, it's possible. It's way easier actually to get married there. But then we thought that nobody speaks Italian, mm-hmm. and it's going to be, it would have been a little bit more complicated. So at some point, to be honest, we just said, okay, where is a destination that in December it's warm? And let's just check all of those. And Malta was one of those. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, they speak English, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that Malta is one of the super popular wedding destinations, actually. Also for LGBT communities that do a lot of stuff. So, yeah, that it was easy. I've been to Malta once before. I like the architecture. It's very Italian, actually. Yeah. Which still the Mediterranean vibe was there. And this is how the team and this is how the Mediterranean vibe actually came in with Malta.
Yeah. And your date was 28th of December?
Yes.
Did somebody ask, oh, my God, this is such a complicated date. Why then? Or did you have some people who didn't come because of that?
Most of our, I'm desperately trying not to say that I'm 40 on this podcast, but I guess I will finally mention it. So most of our friends have kids, which are 5, 6, 7 years old. Definitely most of Daniel's friend, he's older. So we had to think about that, of course. And actually, this is why we chose this date. So we decided to, first of all, when we were still planning in my mind the wedding in Delft, I really liked the Christmas idea. Mm-hmm. It's the family Christmas. It's just so cool. Also, as you said, a little bit untraditional and warm Christmas. So yay, everything is checked. So
we had the best time, by the way. Like I've never been in the sea on the 31st of December and on 1st of January.
Yeah.
And we had really, we can go into that later, everything that happened after the wedding. But we loved it. And we loved also that we got to spend so much time with you. This brunch that you had the next day. I think this is one probably advice that we can give to people who are planning a destination wedding. As you said, people are really paying money, giving their time. So I don't take it for granted anybody who is coming to our wedding, because I know it's a time commitment, a financial commitment. We also wanted to make sure that we spent a lot of time together. And our brunch idea after the wedding came after yours, because you can see you actually spent time with these people.
Yes, that was actually, when I think about it, when we chose Malta, I just remembered, we still thought of that's going to be a family, like close family, meaning my sister, that's it.
That was immediate supposed to family.
Be just the immediate family. But then we thought, oh, actually, that's actually a very good destination. So our friends might want to come, because then you can make a vacation out of it. Yeah. And then we start thinking when, and then when you can make a vacation out of it between Christmas, because even if you don't have kids, it's easy for you to get holidays. You're probably going to be having holiday. To your point, yes, there were some people who couldn't come because they are also expats, so they have, so this is their time to visit their family actually during Christmas. So we had a lot of people who, okay, not a lot because we didn't invite too many people, but we had some people who couldn't come because of that, and they said, really, I'm sorry, but that's the only time I see my family, so I have to go. But I think most of them, and I'm super happy, because I would have felt very guilty. It was just a fly in, fly out kind of experience. So I'm very happy that most of the people managed to actually have 2-3 good days, fun days after that, no matter if the wedding was there. Because I also realized that, for me, this wedding is the wedding.
Yeah, of course.
But for other people, it's also like, okay, it's my friend's party, amazing, I would love to be there, but after that I forget about that wedding. You know,
nobody has forgotten about your wedding.
That's amazing, you're too kind.
No, it was really, really a great time, and it very much showed the togetherness of you and Daniel. How did, and did it at all, being married change your relationship in a way?
I don't know, to be honest. It's really hard to answer this, because I don't think it did, but to me, this is a year that I just, remembering that wedding, remembering everything, just gives me so much energy. I don't know. I got so crazy. People are joking and making fun of me because I'm talking only weddings. It was just a fairy tale. And it's, I don't think I really like having fairy tales. It doesn't matter if that's going to be a wedding or a birthday or, but I want to have more time and more reasons to bring family and close friends together. And I think this is extremely important and hits even harder when you live abroad and when you cannot see all the, even if you don't live abroad, your friends live abroad.
Yes.
I live in the Netherlands, but my friends are not only in Bulgaria. They're in Luxembourg. They're in Germany.
Planning is not what it used to be. I think before it was, let's go there for a weekend in 2 weeks. Perfect. I think now it's impossible for things to happen. And I always thought, why is it so complicated for you to plan something? Like, I could never be like this. But, you know, you reach a moment in life when it is. And I completely agree with you that when you're an expat, it's very different. And your whole family, like parents and your sister and her husband, they live in Bulgaria, just like with mine. And we were talking about this before we started recording, how happy I am that you actually settled down 4 hours away from me, because it's definitely different to know that you have family close by. It's different for sure, don't you think?
Yeah. How marriage changed things? I think apart from, of course, the super cool vibes that it gives you, I think it depends per person. For me, it was very important. I just like the feeling of maybe it's belonging. It's not that now I feel like I belong to him or Lala. I think I just like to belong to the idea, which is why I changed my name, like this changing of my name. I just feel so cool when now we buy tickets and it's like Daniel Kazanetsky, Diana Kazanetsky.
Yes.
We're married. It's like, I think it really depends on how people look at marriage. Mm-hmm. I just really always wanted to be married, and now I am, and that makes me very happy. So
your husband is wonderful. So that helps.
Yeah.
Because there are people, and I think this is one thing why maybe our, I don't know if our generation, but our generation at this age is doing something right that maybe 10, 15 years ago or 20, I don't know, wasn't necessarily the case, that we're not getting married super young. And I think in this way, we're avoiding rushing into something. You're not as mature simply when you're 20, 25, 23 than when you're older. And I think it's better to get married a little bit later and to know that this is your person, to go into it consciously, because yes, this is a wedding special and we're talking about this, but eventually the wedding is a gateway to marriage. And to me, I'm super excited about the marriage part, also about the wedding. But I think to be married to somebody, and as you said, to have the same name, to belong to them, if you ask me how I think marriage changed you, and I've known you for my whole life, but I think that you're more chill.
Definitely more chill.
Yes. And I think that says something about the fact that you are with the person you belong to. This is my person now. We're married and let's relax now.
Yeah.
But it's also probably because you married the person who you're supposed to be with. Because I don't know if everybody becomes more chill, but you and I have a very similar personality. So that's why I'm curious how, in your opinion, being married affected you and changed you.
I just feel good.
In peace.
I'm in peace. I feel good and I like it. For me, that was really a celebration. And to me right now, I know that people are, I'm not going to go into a very interesting detail, but I don't understand the whole, I don't want to get married. I think getting married, also signing the papers and everything, especially nowadays when you can unsign them super easily and super quickly. Mm-hmm. I don't see what's the problem. I think this is also responsible to do when you love someone, because I don't want to get into the dark stuff of things, but if something happens to you or to him, I think it's just let's say that it's just better. I was one of those people who were very ready previously with my previous relationship to not be married. Yeah. Because, oh yes, we're in love, big deal, who cares? I really didn't care about the whole marriage thing. And I think that back then, I thought that that's cool. Because, everybody gets married. So now I'm not going to get married because I'm going to be cool not to.
Yeah.
And once whatever happened and then I lost this person, I promise that I'm not going to be cool about anything. Anything I want, which is being married, being super in love, being all in, and all of those things, I'm not going to stop myself from any of that. And yes, I want to be married. I want to have a document that we are together. I want to be able to take decisions on behalf of that person. I want this person to be able to take decisions on behalf of me, and all of those things if something goes wrong.
Now we're focusing more on the fun part of it and all of that, but I think it's a very big responsibility, marriage in general. Perhaps because sometimes, especially in the day and age that we live in with social media and the bombardment of once, as you told me, just wait until the algorithm knows you're engaged. You get bombarded with, but you don't get bombarded with, do you know what it means to be married? Do you know what your legal responsibilities are? Do you know all of these things? You get bombarded with decorations and flowers and dresses. Yes. In fact, once you sign, you have a legal responsibility towards each other. If something were to happen, you take decisions. So you have to have a lot of these conversations actually before you get married.
Yes. Yeah, the boring part, if we're going to call it the boring part, which is not the boring part, but this is super important and it's there. And actually, I think that's why, I mean, I'm very rational. You're very rational. We all know that, which is amazing. And yeah, I thought about all of this beforehand. Mm-hmm. Same as Daniel, by the way.
Did you have any conversations where you were surprised that he asked you, or was he surprised that you asked him before you got married about the more serious aspects of it? Luckily, and of course, you don't have to go into any...
No, luckily not. I mean, I was very straightforward from the very beginning because, again, I was Tindering many years before I met him. So I already knew what are the straightforward questions that I need to ask, what is important for me. And to your point that getting married later is better. Having this commitment later definitely is better because then you at least know that you're not going to be out tomorrow. But knowing this, I just needed to know, I wouldn't even keep the relationship going if the things that I know that are a must for me are not met.
Yeah.
I was super lucky that he was in the same boat and he had the same experience. He had the same, he had space. Exactly. So I'm super happy that that happened. We had those conversations, but they weren't like a super tough conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, what's your opinion on that? What do you think about that? Will we have kids? Mm-hmm. We'll do this. Where do we live? Do you like to travel? Do you not like to travel? How about, like, for me, this is probably the most important, is how easy, how adaptable and how flexible are you to change in general? Because it can be positive, negative, whatever. But then if you're just very rigid in some areas, then it's going to be hard for me. Then it's not going to work out eventually. But who are you? Who am I? And this is something that I can compromise with. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, honestly, I don't want to compromise with. So we just got lucky that
we really just got lucky
we are aligned.
And this is another thing that I think is interesting, that sometimes people, because they're hung up on the idea of getting married and having a wedding, that they think that something might change. But I strongly believe in, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them.
Yes.
And I think that's a very important aspect of deciding who you're going to make this commitment to.
Completely agree. Because we also hear those stories when, after you get married, you settle, you feel more, you feel calm. But there's a good way of being calm.
Yeah.
And there's a bad way of
being too calm.
Being too calm or just being laid back and being not appreciative of the other person anymore, which I think happens exactly when your sole purpose is the marriage itself rather than the relationship that you have. So I think when you have the relationship in as a goal to be stable, nice, whatever you want from your relationship, then of course it doesn't change just because you signed and you had a party. It can only strengthen because now both of you agreed. And for me, actually, the most important part, that's what I wanted to be perfect in, on the wedding, was the vows. Because for me, the vows is just... And that's what marriage was and still is, like me committing today, I'm going to tell you those things. And I really feel them. I'm really going to try. And actually, in my vows, I didn't want to say I'm going to love you forever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to love you forever. And I really thought of promising things that I will really do so that I keep loving you forever and you keep loving me forever. Mm-hmm. I was very conscious of that.
It's a very, very important thing to do in terms of to really consciously think about it, because you don't know what's going to happen. And I promise to love you forever.
Yeah.
This is not, I promise to be with you and to make it work, even in moments when I don't love you.
Yeah.
I think
it's
a more realistic way of saying it.
Yeah.
It's not the most romantic, but it's,
yeah.
In fact, it's more romantic than coming up with something more sugar-coated.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I was going to ask you about your favorite part of the wedding, but I think you just told me.
It's the vows.
The vows, yes.
The vows.
Is there anything you would have changed about the wedding, now thinking back?
The DJ? Oh, the DJ. I don't know. I don't know if the listeners have the same feeling, but I knew that this DJ is going to fail. Like, I've never been on a wedding that the DJ is a good DJ. I don't know what's wrong with
DJ. Wait for my wedding.
I'm really waiting for your wedding.
I hope it's good.
Because I don't know how. So, talking about planning.
Yeah.
I knew exactly what I want the music to be for the dinner and then for the party and everything. I have created Spotify lists as an example to that person, to the DJ, and send the Spotify list like, hi, whoever, please consider these artists to play for the dinner. This is the Spotify list example. Mm-hmm. And then actually for the dinner, I really wanted to hear that music specifically. And then for the party, I'm not a DJ. I don't know all the songs, right? That's why we're paying you to mix and play the right mix. So I told him, these are my favorite artists. These are my favorite songs. So I also created like a Spotify list, which should have served as a reference to you.
The vibe, in general.
And I don't know how at the end we got to Macarena.
Yeah.
I mean, how?
To be fair, I think at every wedding, at some point you get to Macarena.
I know, which is why I really didn't want my wedding to get to Macarena. And then we got to the Macarena and all the rock and roll Elvis Presley, which it was fun. I'm not saying that it was not fun. Everybody, I think, was having fun.
Yes.
But yeah, everybody has fun because they have to have fun because they have this same fun every single time.
Yeah.
It's but the Macarena, oh my God, when I played Macarena, I was like, what? How did we get here? It was just so funny. So what I would change, I wouldn't change anything about the wedding. Actually, I would change the way I experienced it a little bit. I was so obsessed if the guests are feeling okay that I was constantly thinking about that.
Yeah.
Not constantly, of course, but I just
caught myself.
It was at the back of my mind. And next time, I won't care. I mean, I told myself many times when we were organizing
it. Let's just clarify. Next time with the same husband.
Next time with the same husband. Yes. Next time when I get married to the same person, then I will really, I'll try to let go. Hopefully by then I will grow as a human being, as they say in many podcasts, towards not caring how my guests feel at my wedding.
I read something that at your wedding, you shouldn't act like a host, you should act like the guest of honor.
Exactly. That's a great thing. Please act like that. Kind of acted like a host. I felt like a host for sure. Yes. I don't know if I acted like one, but I felt like a host. Mm-hmm. And you kind of care of who's doing what and if they're having fun or not. So this is the only thing that I would change. And because, as already hinted a few times in this conversation, I am planning to have a second renewal wedding, whatever we're going to call it, with that same person, hopefully. Mm-hmm. What I would change is just completely the vibe. I mean, as I said, now we wanted it to be intimate. We wanted to have our friends, the closest friend. Next time, we're just going to maybe have a party or something different. Just a different vibe. I love that.
The last thing I want to talk to you about the wedding is that you decided to spend the evening after 10. If I'm not mistaken, It was the first time I saw that. And I want to talk a little bit about this. So the wedding started around what time? Like 3, 4?
One.
Or one, sorry, yeah. One. The wedding started at 1. Yes. Then we had the whole wedding. And at 10 o'clock, it was over.
Yes.
And you wanted to spend the evening, just the two of you.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about how you came to this decision. Why? What did you do? No, I'm kidding. Obviously not. But
is that the song? Is that the sound?
No, but I think it's a cool way of Netflix and chill. It's such a cool way to like take ownership of your day. So yes. How did you decide that?
That's exactly how because I'm 40, almost 40. No, it's just that I've been to so many weddings and there are things that you already hear about people's weddings that you think that you will change. Mm-hmm. One of those, the DJ. I did not succeed with that. I really wanted to doing all the things that I mentioned. So I tried to change those things. So one of the things that you always hear about the wedding is you don't get too drunk as mm-hmm. a bride or a groom because you're not going to remember anything. So the next thing that you usually hear is that you just get home exhausted at 3, 4, 5, whatever. And you just don't have, you don't have time for each other, let's say like that. Which is okay because nowadays in the modern world, it's not like that's going to be your first time. Yes. So it's okay. Yeah. But at the same time, again, it was all about intimacy, intimate, small wedding, family, relationship, connection.
Togetherness.
That was the point. So it wouldn't make sense to have this, to create this cozy vibe and feeling and then let everybody get wasted and forget about everything that there's just a clash, which is again why I'm saying I'm happy to have another wedding mm-hmm. with the let's go get wasted. But mm-hmm. that was not that. And I really wanted to have time to let what happened to us that whole day sink in. And I wanted to talk with him about it. And we have this thing every single night where we share what are our amazing things. Like it's like a reflection of the day. So I wanted to have that reflection of the most important day.
Yeah. Right?
So I wanted to talk about it. I wanted, you know, to gossip about everybody, you know, this dress. And it was just so, so cool. So that's how... This is why. This was the solution of the mm-hmm. problem that I've heard before, which is we were so tired, we just went to bed and fall asleep and forgot about it. And it was the next day. And the next day, by the way, everybody's gone. So another problem. Oh, we didn't have time to speak to anybody on the way. It just went so fast that I don't remember talking to anybody, or we just said hi and then...
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, what happened on the wedding. Mm-hmm. Even on our wedding, that was super supposed to be intimate, which, it was 50 people, I think. This is nothing. This is a birthday party.
Wedding.
Yes.
In wedding amount of people.
So that's why even we decided to do the next day, because, mm-hmm. Number one, that's going to be a wedding that everybody can have fun as they want. Also, children. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people who came with their children. These children need to go to bed. So in general, that was the point. It was selfish from the perspective was selfish, as in we really want to talk about it after that. I want to be present and remember it, and I want to talk about it, and I want to feel it again, and just that night, and have time to be together, because that's our wedding after all. And then the next day we would actually even be able to talk to everybody without having to rush or without any special things that needs to happen.
I think your wedding was amazing, and I think your approach to it was super cool, because in my view you really made it your own and you focused on the things that were important to you. It really showed you as a couple. So it was great. It was a great way to meet your husband.
Yes, because great presentation.
Great presentation, yes.
It's almost like Lion King, the baby. But in this case, as Diana and Daniel, as a couple. Here we are. This is who we are.
No, and it was also a lot of like some fun details that showed like the sense of humor that you have together, like the sign that you had when you were walking in. I had to laugh so much because it said, "Welcome to Diana's wedding," featuring Daniel. And then I understood, okay, he really must have a sense of humor, because I think...
It was his idea, by the way.
Really?
He insisted on this sign. And I was like, But they all know that that's too true. Yeah. That is too real to be on a sign. It's not like a joke. They're going to think that I asked you to do this.
We did.
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't. I actually, that's one of the reasons of the letters as well. He got pretty involved in the wedding. Yeah, the letters, everything. When he started actually thinking about how we're going to greet the people and everything, he got very excited. So I'm happy about that. So he was participating is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
It wasn't just me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the bridezilla, which this sign kind of...
No, it was. But thank you so much for being on the podcast. Are you going to come back?
Yes.
Perfect. I would love to have you back. We can talk about so many other things. I think you should become a... AI. We can talk about AI. We can talk about everything. I think you should become a regular guest on the podcast.
Yes.
And thank you so much for being here. Thank you for letting our audience into your life and into your wedding and into such an intimate moment of your life.
Thank you for one more time giving me the chance to speak about my wedding.
Okay, then let's go and meet your husband and my fiance.
Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in. See you next week on Open Mic Live.